Will you pray with me, please? Lord God, as we stand in this beautiful place of worship, I ask that you be with the youth in this worship service. Bless them, bless the congregation, and allow them to be closer to you than when they came in. Amen.
We will be reading from Jeremiah 1, 4 through 8. The Lord said,
Jeremiah, I am your creator, and before you were born, I chose you to speak for me to the nations.
I replied, I am not a good speaker, Lord, and I am too young. But the Lord said to me,
Don't say you are too young. If I tell you to go and speak to someone, then go. And when I tell you what to say, don't leave out a word. I promise to be with you and keep you safe, so do not be afraid, says the Lord.
Will you pray with me, please? Our Heavenly Father, thank you for the opportunity for the youth to share their voice with the church. Thank you for our leaders, for guiding us, and for teaching us how to share you with others. God, be with Meredith, Thomas, Caitlin, and Becca as they share their sermons with the church and show how you have influenced their lives. Help the congregation to understand the youth's contribution to the church. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
A reading from Matthew 18, 3-4. And he said, I tell you the truth, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven.
And they lived happily ever after, the end. Most fairy tales end where relationships begin. Our fairy tale, however, only starts where our relationship with God begins. As youth, we are in a period of transition between childhood and adulthood. This allows us to more easily retain that childlike faith we grew up with. Some of the youth are on the younger end of the spectrum, and a childlike faith is still all they know. Others, myself included, have already entered adulthood by the world's standards and are maturing in our faith. However, while I am a member of the latter, I have not lost an ounce of the former, which is probably what led me to get up here and talk about Disney World. The Magic Kingdom is my favorite place on Earth, and many lessons can be learned from it. Walt Disney once said, quote, Somehow, I can't believe there are any heights that can't be scaled by a man who knows the secret of making dreams come true. This special secret, it seems to me, can be summarized in 4 C's. They are curiosity, confidence, courage, and constancy. And the greatest of these is confidence. When you believe a thing, believe it all the way, implicitly and unquestionably, end quote. Confidence. Childlike faith is confidence. Confidence that God is the beginning, God is the middle, and finally, God is the end. God is the beginning. One of the reasons I love the Magic Kingdom so much is because when you enter and walk down Main Street towards Cinderella's castle, you are greeted by an array of characters that couldn't be more excited to see you. From Goofy to Cruella de Vil to Cinderella to Mickey Mouse, simply put, they make you feel loved. And not only that, they make you feel like you are the royalty. Romans 8, 16 through 17 says, The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. When we accept Christ as our Lord and Savior, we are adopted sons and daughters of God, a king, the King of Kings. This means we become part of royalty. As the children of a king, we become princes and princesses. As I mentioned before, most fairy tales end where relationships begin, where one spouse enters royalty. Ours, on the other hand, has just begun. So God is the beginning. God is also the middle. Another reason why I love the Magic Kingdom is because while I am there, I am completely free of worries. Disney makes certain to have absolutely everything provided for me, and I have absolute trust that they will. All my needs are taken care of. I think that often the middle is characterized by worry and fear. The middle is where everything hits and reality sets in. We have started this relationship with God and everything is going great for a while, and then a storm comes and we instantly start to doubt God. He expects us to walk on water and fully rely on Him, and we aren't ready. We don't know how to take the first step or what to do next. We begin to wonder if He will provide for us like He did in the beginning. A childlike faith, though, allows us to have confidence in God, even in the middle. In Matthew, Jesus says, "So do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat?' or 'What shall we drink?' or 'What shall we wear?' For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and these things will be given to you as well." Just as when we are in the magic kingdom and everything we need is provided for us, if we seek God's kingdom, He already knows what we need, and He will provide that much more. Finally, God is the end. In Matthew 28:20, Jesus promises, "And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." We know how our story ends, and every time I visit the magic kingdom, I am reminded, God is with us, no matter what, and He always will be. Jesus is our Savior. He died for us, and now we can live eternally with Him. As Sarah read in Matthew, we must first change and become like little children. It is only then that we can enter the kingdom of heaven and truly live happily ever after. Do you have a childlike faith? If so, how does your life look different because of it? Are you confident that God is the beginning, the middle, and the end of your story? Will you pray with me, please? Dear God, thank you so much for sending your Son to die for us, that we might become part of your family. Thank you for always providing for us and never failing us when we need you. Thank you for always being there, even to the end of the age. We know that our confidence comes from you. I just pray that you will help us to have a childlike faith, no matter how old we become, and that our lives are transformed because of it. I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good afternoon. My name is Becca Hamperian, and I'm a senior at Lafayette High School. Why are you sitting in that pew right there? I can tell you why I'm here. It all started about 3 years ago when my best friend, Emily Bates, asked me to come to a Calvary-hosted coffee house with her. We listened to music, drank coffee, and I got to meet some of the youth that were a part of Calvary. Among these kids was Thomas McKinley, and needless to say, we hit it off great because we've been dating basically ever since. But one Sunday about 3 years ago, Thomas asked me to come to worship in Sunday school with him. I agreed, and my parents decided that they wanted to come too. At the time, we weren't going to church regularly, so we wanted to have a church home. When we walked in the door, I don't think I've ever felt more welcome. When people at this church see someone new, they go up and ask your name. And to me, that made me feel great. It made me feel like these people wanted me here. The church community here is like a large, welcoming family, and that is definitely one of the reasons that I wanted to stay here. And then I went with Thomas to Sunday school, and at the time, the youth minister was Brian Varbel. And when he saw that I wasn't a usual part of the youth, he asked me my name and told me that he was happy that I was there. Hearing that someone was happy that I was at church made me feel great. But feeling welcome is not the only reason why I wanted to make Calvary my permanent church home. I loved Calvary because of all the opportunities for different activities for the youth, from retreats to helping out in the community to even leading worship services. It makes me feel important, not only in the youth, but in the church as a whole. And that's a big deal for a teenager. So I'd like to thank you all, the congregation of Calvary, for being so welcoming and open for newcomers like me. But now that I've been here for 3 years, it's my turn to be welcoming and open. And it's my turn to invite people to church events and worship. Because that's what makes Calvary what it is, members, new and old. I am Calvary like you are Calvary. So if we are all open, welcome, and inviting, like Emily, Thomas, and Brian, this church will continue to grow and develop in the eyes of God. That being said, I'd like to make a challenge that every member receives the opportunities at Calvary that God wants them to have, whether that be participating in the Christmas project or being in the choir. So never pass up an opportunity to invite someone to something new. I promise it'll make both the people a better person.
Hello?
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Thomas, it's Meredith.
Oh, hey, what's up?
Well, I was hoping you'd go to Calvary with me tonight to wrap presents for the Christmas project. They really need our help.
I don't think I can make it.
Oh, come on. It'll only be an hour. Just 1 hour of your time. You'll enjoy it.
See, I just got out of the doctor's office, and I still have calculus and English homework, and I have 3 missed calls from Becca. I don't think I can go.
Thomas, I know your schedule is full.
Full? Are you kidding? My schedule's packed.
Thomas, stop limping for 1 second.
Okay.
Thomas, I know your schedule is full, but are you filled?
Filled? I already said I was packed. What more do you want?
Thomas, full does not mean filled. What do I want you to do? I want you to come get coffee with me.
Why?
Let's talk about this full versus filled thing.
I see you now.
I see you too.
On an average weekday, my alarm clock is set for 6:50 in the morning. However, I actually get out of bed at around 7:30. The loss of 40 minutes in my getting ready time means that I'm in a rush from the moment I wake up, and it only gets more hectic from there. Upon rolling into school approximately 1 minute before the bell rings, I go from tough class to a somewhat less difficult class to another tough class until I could pretty much curl up and take a nap on top of my desk. But of course, it doesn't end there. My after-school commitments include being vice president of student government, secretary of German Honor Society, and writing for the school newspaper, among other activities. During a normal school week, I have at least one meeting or event to go to every afternoon. On top of that, I have to keep up with homework and work on college applications and try to socialize with family and friends for more than a couple of seconds per day. I definitely enjoy being busy. I have fun with all the classes and clubs I'm taking part in, and I do feel like I'm making the most of my last year of high school. However, it's gotten a little overwhelming at times. Take the start of the school year, for instance. It was the time for planning one of student government's main events, homecoming. I never, ever imagined how much effort it would require to put on a 5-minute halftime ceremony and a 2-hour dance. The other officers and I spent hours tallying ballot after ballot for homecoming king and queen, selling tickets before and after school, and planning out every single minor decorating detail. It was my normal schedule multiplied by 2, and it was starting to feel like school was taking up most of my life. I was still seeing my family and friends and getting homework done, though. And sure, I wasn't making it to church or having any time to focus on God, really, but he'd still be there when homecoming was over, right? The realization kind of hit me on the day of the dance when I was at school supervising the decorating process. Somewhere in the midst of wrapping volleyball poles in pretty fabric, I thought to myself, really? I'm saving my relationship with God for when I'm done making ribbon curls for 5 straight hours. It's every bit as ridiculous as it sounds. And as I thought about it, I knew if I continued on the same path, there would always be something else causing me to say, God can wait. Senior year was never really going to slow down, and next would come college, and then family and careers and a whole new world of real-life, grown-up responsibilities. Now, it may be a little dramatic to say that my preoccupation with homecoming was the start of some downward spiral toward pushing God out of my life entirely. The point is, I'll always be busy. I'll always have obligations. But my relationship with God is not an after-school activity. God isn't an hour-long Sunday meeting that I can pencil into my schedule. He should be incorporated into everything I do, every single day. I won't always be able to make it to church or sit and read a chapter in my Bible, but I've come to figure out how I can feel most connected with God at any given point in my day. One thing I try to do daily is find a few minutes to sit in silence, or almost silence. For me, this is usually in my car on the way to or from school, or at night before I go to sleep. I'll turn the radio down or the TV off and take some time to think and to pray. All my worries, things that stress me out, I just take a few minutes to lift those up to God. It's the way that I remind myself that no matter how crazy things get, God is there for me, and He has it all figured out. And besides just concerns, those few minutes can be a good time to thank God for all the things He's done for me. Often those blessings are little things. These days, I find myself thanking God when there isn't frost on my windshield in the morning, and I can make it to school on time without endangering myself and every other driver on the road. I've found that when I take that time to talk with God in the midst of a busy schedule, I feel more at ease, in a way, more filled with God's presence and God's love. In Psalm 46, verse 10, He says, "Be still and know that I am God." Be still. No matter how busy you may be, I think everyone should find the time to be still and know that He is God, not another thing on your to-do list.
Nada, Kentucky, St. Louis, Missouri, Arlington, Texas, Santiago, Chile, Burlington, Mississippi, New Orleans, Louisiana, Irish Town, Lexington, the Calvary Christmas Project, Port-au-Prince, Haiti. These are all places that Calvary has reached out for mission opportunities. In these mission trips, youth have always had a chance to serve and or contribute on these trips. Personally, I have been able to go to many of these places, and God has always seemed to show Himself to me every time. On these mission trips, we always think that we are the ones that are bringing God to people. But the truth is, He was there all along preparing a place for us to work. For example, when our mission team went to Chile, we planned for months trying to get our stories ready to share the story of God and paint a church, but when we left, we realized we were the ones that were changed and not the other way around. We always think that the drywall, painting, carpet pulling, paint scraping, putting up roofs, house siding, feeding, and changing out ceiling tiles is God's work. But in reality, that's just what God uses to connect us with other Christians. Sometimes we have projects that take every part of us to get finished, like in St. Louis when we work 10 hours a day for a week. And sometimes the projects make you feel many different things at once, like in Chile when we had to paint a 6-foot, 1-block-long stucco wall a bright Cheeto orange. And at the end of the week, our arms hurt from painting, and our Kentucky native eyes hurt from looking at orange for 1 week long. At the end, Rich Mandel said we could have just spray painted it. Sometimes, God's work could just be having fun with Chileans and oil-based paint. That trip made me feel all different types of things, and I think Sandra Cisneros says it best in her short story, 11. She writes, "What they don't understand about birthdays and what they never tell you is that when you're 11, you're also 10 and 9 and 8 and 7 and 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, and 1. But when you wake up on your 11th birthday, you expect to feel 11, but you don't. You open your eyes and everything's just like yesterday, only it's today. And you don't feel 11 at all. You feel like you're still 10, and you are, underneath the year that makes you 11. Like some days you might say something stupid, and that's the part of you that's still 10. Or maybe some days you just need to sit on your mama's lap because you're scared, and that's the part of you that's 5. And maybe one day when you're all grown up, maybe you'll need to cry as if you're 3, and that's okay. And that's what I tell my mom when she's sad and needs to cry. Maybe she's feeling 3. Because the way you grow old is kind of like an onion, or like the rings inside a tree trunk, or like my little wooden dolls that fit inside the other, each year inside the next one. That's how being 11 years old is. When I pack my bags for a mission trip, I get excited as if I'm 10 and on Christmas Day. Do you get excited for mission trips? If you're scared or nervous about going places like Haiti, then that's okay. That's just the part of you that's 5. Or if you're not comfortable knocking on doors in apartment complexes, that's fine. That's just the part of you that's 7. But once you're ready to step outside of your comfort zone, it really is a miracle. So whether you're feeling 76 like Seth Hicks, or if you're feeling 24 like Hank Ellington, let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers.
Let us hear the word of the Lord. 1 Timothy 4:12.
Let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers.
In word,
in conduct,
in love,
in spirit,
in faith,
in purity.
From the younger contingent of our church family, we have been led in worship this Lord's Day Sunday morning. This Sunday, prior to Thanksgiving, there is much for which to be thankful. Young people, for your presence and your singing and your praying and your playing and the spoken word, your spirit, and your youth, thank you. Thank you for leading us in worship this day. Gracious God, thank you that you love us, that you're always with us, that you speak to us through your church, through young people, senior adults, children, all of us in between. May we be faithful, O God, not only in our living, not only in our coming and going, but in our giving as well. May we be good stewards of the gifts and resources that you entrust to us. We pray this in your name, O God. Amen.